My name is Paula Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It is Sunday the 12th of July 2009 and it is 4:15 in the morning. Could I ask you please to tell us your full name, your date of birth and where you come from?
Right, I'm Janice Ishbrook. My date of birth is 14th of February 1949 and I'm from Coventry.
How are you feeling about going on the fourth plinth?
I'm quite excited actually. I have been sort of terrified for several weeks, but I'm feeling looking forward to it now.
How did you first hear about the project?
I can't really remember. I think it must have been probably in the Sunday paper, The Observer, I imagine. I found out about it. And then I went online to have a look.
And what is it that inspired you to apply?
I'm not sure that I was inspired, but I mean, I love Anthony Gormley's work, but the thought of actually getting a place was just the furthest thing from my mind. I just thought, well, I'll have a go, but I really, really think I would get a place on it.
And how did you feel when you did get a place?
Well, I almost had a heart attack. I was shocked for several days, thinking, oh my goodness, what have I let myself in for? And obviously, what shall I do? But I thought, I mean, I've retired now, I've reached the age of 60 this year, and I thought, this is an opportunity that's been given to me, and I should accept it, however I feel about it, I should take it, and I hope that I'll be glad that I did when it's all over.
Can you tell us what you'll be doing on the fourth plinth?
I'm going to sing a sort of karaoke version of the Mozart Requiem. So I'm going to have the full kind of orchestral and choral backing, and I'm going to sing as much of it as I can. I'm going to sing mainly the alto part, maybe bits of soprano and tenor, and maybe some of the solo-y bits. I'd love to see how we go.
Are you a singer by profession?
Not by profession, just by interest. I've sung just about all my life, really, and that's one of my main passions, really, choral singing. It's something that I really enjoy, and I've had a lot of fun out of. And I mean, every time we start a concert, there's just a kind of thrill of knowing. And I know this will happen when the Mozart starts, that there's sort of few introductory bars. You just know that you're starting on this wonderful musical journey. So at least that's what I'm hoping will happen up there.
So are you part of a choir?
Yeah, I belong to two choirs. I sing with the Warwick University Chorus, which is a very, very big chorus, hundreds of people. And I also sing with a small choir called Spires, which is based in Coventry.
And what is it that made you decide to do this on the plinth?
To do this particularly on the plinth? Because I couldn't think of anything else I could do. This is what I do. No, I really couldn't seriously think of anything else I could do. So
what do you hope will happen when you're up on the plinth?
I'm hoping to just enjoy it. I'm not looking on it as a performance as such. It's a bit of self-indulgence, I suppose. I mean, I hope that other people will enjoy it. I'm not sure how much they'll be able to hear of it anyway. But it's a bit like looking forward to a concert, and I'm hoping to just really enjoy that musical experience.
And who would you say that you're doing this for?
I am actually hoping that people will support my favourite charity through it, if they want to give anything in terms of sponsorship. The charity is the medical foundation that cares for victims of torture. It's the only organisation in this country that is completely dedicated to that. And they've just, they've got several centres. They've just opened in Birmingham that I went up to see a few weeks ago. They basically give medical support, psychological, psychiatric support, counselling, and just help people rebuild their lives. I mean, I suppose to a degree, I mean, there's part of the Mozart Requiem that talks about Dies Irae, Dies Illa, and that's the day of judgment, day of wrath. And I just feel these are people who've already faced that in their lives and have been very damaged by it. And we should give them as much help as possible to put their lives back together again.
How did you become involved with the charity?
That again, I can't remember. It's probably, I don't know. I mean, throughout my life I've worked with, because I'm a teacher, I'm a retired teacher, and I have worked with refugee families and asylum seeking families, because I teach English as an additional language. So, got to know about the refugee council and so on and so forth. So that is maybe where I find out about the Medical Foundation.
And now that you're retired, is it something that you will take more time to do or stay involved?
I'm hoping to, yes. I'm trying to, at the moment, arrange some sort of regular voluntary work, either with the Refugee Council, my local refugee centre in Coventry, or possibly with the Medical Foundation.
Do you have any fears about going up on the plinth?
Well, actually, I have been totally, absolutely terrified. But now I feel it's just, you know, it's going to happen. I'm just going to do it. It's kind of as almost like a sort of quest or an ordeal, you know. But I mean, once you're committed to it, you just know you're going to do it. And obviously, as I'm asking people to support me in terms of sponsorship, I'm not going to let them down. So I'm just hoping. I mean, it's just started now, and I'm just going to go through it and enjoy it as much as I can.
Will you be using the plinth to promote the charity?
Not as such, no. I've set up a page on Just Giving, and I've got sort of a T-shirt, which I think I'm just going to probably lay out. I haven't got anything sort of really big to show. And my partner is going to be giving out cards to whoever's around about down below.
Do you have any other expectations about what might happen when you're up there?
I'm just hoping I can get through it, really, that my voice will hold out. No.
Will you be singing for the full hour?
I hope so. The recording I've got actually lasts about 54 minutes. So it gives me a minute or two for, you know, setting up and packing up at the end.
And you mentioned your partner's here with you. Anyone else who's come to watch?
Well, one or two people have said I will be in London that weekend, but I don't think I'm going to come along at 5 o'clock. There's one person who's the son of a friend of mine who I don't even know and I've not met who might come along. I'm not expecting to have supporters out there, but there'll be lots of people watching the live streaming.
So we're trying to get an idea of the people who've applied to the project. Would you mind telling us something that is important to you in your life?
Music's obviously very important, and the arts generally. And I suppose my family. I've got a new grandson, so 4 weeks old today, so this will be something for him to know about his grandmother anyway.
And have you ever been involved in anything like this before?
No.
Have you performed in other arts projects or activities before?
Well, I mean, my choirs perform regularly, so I should imagine I do a concert probably 4 or 5 times a year. We've done sort of little arts projects at school as well, arts weeks, which I've helped to organise in the past. And I mean, I like doing things like going to exhibitions and galleries and so on and so forth. I've liked Anthony Gormley's work a long time. Went to see The Field, The Angel of the North. I'm originally from the northeast, actually. I was brought up in Gateshead, and my auntie lives in a block of flats, and she can see the angel from her window. So I suppose that, you know, that's been quite an iconic thing in my life. So I always go and see it every time I go up there to visit family and so on. And it was actually my the last time I saw my father. My brother and I took him to hospital, and then we decided to have a little trip out to the Angel. And it was such horrible weather, it was absolutely blowing a gale, so we just parked the car and walked up and round it and back again. So, but it was nice to have that. One of my last memories of my dad is connected with that.
And now that you're part of an Anthony Gormley project, how does that feel?
It's been a little difficult to work out, really, because, I mean, I'm absolutely thrilled to be part of it. I mean, that's part of what I like about Anthony Gormley, that he does involve ordinary people. But it's kind of, this is kind of groundbreaking, because it's kind of difficult to work out what it actually is, you know. I'm going up to do my little bit of performance, but people have done such different things. Is it art? And it's because the artist says it's art, it is art. And I'm not really sure what my part is in that whole thing.
Do you think you will have an impact going up on the fourth plinth?
An impact on what? Who?
On the people watching, or what kind of impact would you hope to have?
I just hope that they will enjoy, provided they can hear it, music that maybe they don't listen to very often.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about the teaching that you did?
My English as an additional language teaching.
When you were a teacher, were you a primary school teacher or a secondary school?
Well, I started off as secondary, but the main bulk of my work was with primary. And I did some class teaching, but not all class teaching. I spent a lot of time in support with children who have a language other than English.
And how did you start specialising in teaching English as a second
language? I think English was my subject originally, and then I did a course. Well, teaching adults English. I don't know why, it's just something I was really interested in. And then I used that when I did go back into primary school teaching. I used that. It was just an interest I had, really. And I suppose it's a feeling that you can get sort of closer to the pupils that you're trying to help, rather than having, you know, a big class that you've got to be responsible for. You've got the chance to be, you know, develop individual programs or group programs and see, I suppose, a faster rate of development till they become to the point where they can become more integrated in the school as a whole.
And how would you describe yourself?
Well, I've described myself as a musical idealistic and short, I think. My three words that I had to choose. I'm actually quite a shy and private person, so doing this and being on my own has been, you know, a challenge for me. I'm just hoping that when the music kicks in, I will just get immersed in that and forget. But that's part of why I like singing, because I can do that. And one of the lovely things about choral singing is having the chance to sing sublime music by past geniuses, and to contribute your little tiny little bit of meagre talent to the whole thing. And I always feel privileged whenever I get a chance to do that.
And how would you sum up your experience so far since applying for the project and now, just before you're about to go on?
Well, it's become sort of all consuming, really, especially once this live streaming started, because I've got the computer on all the time, and every time I pass it, see, you know, what's happening and what the current person's doing. And I think also since it started, people are more aware of what's going on, whereas before, before last Monday, when I told them about it, quite a few people didn't really know. So it was a case of explaining. But just sort of a lot more aware now. It has sort of taken over my life, really.
And what have you thought of the other people that you've seen on the plinth?
Like I said, there's been a big variety, and how people kind of interpret it. It's been fascinating to watch, really. I suppose it's the sort of big things that I've enjoyed most, because they stand out on the plinth, don't they? Like the chap who dressed up as a monster and try to destroy London. I enjoyed that.
And before we finish, is there anything you'd like to add to the interview?
No, just thanks for the opportunity to take part, really. It's not something I would ever have dreamt in the whole of my life that I'd ever have the chance to do. And I just appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.